1322-358-CV, Save RGB Sierra Club and Carrizo slash Comecrudo Nation of Texas, Inc. versus Texas General Land Office and George P. Bush in his official capacity as the Texas Land Commissioner.
May I please the court? It is well established that the guarantees found in the Texas Bill of Rights are accepted from the general powers of government. The Bill of Rights acts as a powerful check on government power. And our Texas Bill of Rights is unique in that it guarantees to the public the unrestricted right to use and access public beaches. Texas voters overwhelmingly determined that this right should be enshrined in our Texas Constitution. Mary Helen Flores, Juan Mancias, and Jim Chapman have benefited from and relied on this right. They have, in one form or another, incorporated Boca Chica Beach into their lives. Mary Helen, for instance, has celebrated her birthday at the beach every year until recently and has enjoyed family gatherings at the beach annually. Juan Mancias, a member of the Carrizo Comecrudo Nation, reveres the beach as sacred to his community and their ancestral traditions. And Jim Chapman accesses the beach regularly for recreational interests. He enjoys bird watching and viewing wildlife and vegetation at the beach. All rely on their access to the beach for different reasons, but all share a distinction from the general public in that the beach has essentially become part of their lives, even their identity. Their lives have been nourished by regular access to Boca Chica Beach, and they have in turn nurtured the beach. And that distinguishes their rights and their alleged injuries from the members of the general public. The Texas Legislature, however, has enacted legislation that has restricted their use of the beach, and the county, relying on and implementing this legislation, has prohibited Ms. Flores, Mr. Chapman, and Mr. Mancias from accessing the beach whenever a private corporation has instructed the county to close off access so that it can pursue its spaceflight endeavors. This is precisely what Texas voters sought to prevent when they deemed public beach access to be a constitutional right. Voters presciently anticipated that a constitutional provision was necessary to provide a check on the legislature and on governmental entities from limiting, rescinding, or otherwise amending their beach access rights.
So the rights that you've just described there are clearly private rights that these individuals possess. And as you know, the state is arguing that Section 33 clearly says that it does not create a private right of enforcement. Now, I understand the argument that you've made, that you're in essence saying that the statute that was passed is constitutional, but aren't you in essence trying to enforce this private right that you've just described?
Your Honor, I think what would be, the answer is no. The short answer is no. The rights that my clients are claiming are actually constitutional rights, and what they are seeking is to declare a statute as a violation of those constitutional rights. And those constitutional rights were enacted by the public, by the members of the voters. And to create a distinction, a private right of enforcement would be if my clients had sought to sue the corporation that is seeking to prohibit access to the beach in order for them to pursue their spaceflight endeavors. If they had directly tried to file a lawsuit against that corporation, that would be a private right of enforcement that they're not allowed to do. If they had attempted to sue the government for damages, let's say one of the members of Sierra Club, let's say Ms. Flores, for instance, claim that she has suffered some monetary damages because she was unable to pursue some activity that she had planned on at the beach because the access was closed off. If she sought to recover those damages from the government even, then that would be a private right of enforcement or a private right of action. But that's not what we're seeking. And in fact, we acknowledge that the Open Beaches Act is a collection of statutes that is intended to also provide a right of access to the beach, but it's a statutory right, and we acknowledge that it doesn't provide a right of enforcement, and that it's actually the state or the local government that's charged with enforcing that statute. We're saying that part of that statute is void because it violates the Constitution. Also, Section 33 of the Constitution, it guarantees, like the OBA, the Open Beaches Act, it guarantees the public an unrestricted right of access and use of beaches, and it forms the basis of our challenge to amendments of the Open Beaches Act. But it, as you correctly acknowledged, Chief Justice Contreras, that it also says it doesn't create a right, a private right of enforcement.
Now, why doesn't this statute, though, then fall under Provision C of Section 33, which is says the legislature may enact laws to protect the right of the public, et cetera? You know what it says. Why does it is not?
Right, because, thank you for asking that question. There are certainly some statutes that one could say protects the right of the public to access the beach and to access it safely. But this particular provision, or this particular House bill, is what added Section 61.132 to the Open Beaches Act. And that specific statute that was added is entitled Closing of Beaches for Space Flight Activities. It specifically is intended to allow for closures of the beach, not enhanced public access, but closures of the beach for a private entity to be able to conduct its space flight endeavors. And in fact, it also, it cross-references a definition of space flight activities that's included in Chapter 100A of the Civil Practice and Remedies Code. And that section bears the heading Limited Liability for Space Flight Activities. And it broadly defines that term as activities and training in any phase of preparing for and undertaking space flight. When put together, 61.132 of the Open Beaches Act, coupled with the definition in Chapter 100A of the Civil Practice and Remedies Code, that makes it clear that the purpose of this House bill was to close the beach whenever a certain corporation needed it closed so that it could conduct a broad range of activities that falls within this broad definition of spaceflight activities.
That wasn't there a time limitation? Wasn't it a certain amount of hours per year that they had access? It's not unlimited access. It's only within a certain amount of time. And to follow that up, do you know what amount of time has been? Is there any recording of it in the past years?
Thank you, Your Honor. Under the statute that we're challenging, under House Bill 2623, there is no limit. Numerical limit on when the beach may be closed. There are other types of limits, such as there has to be notification provided within a certain number of days to the GLO. But there's no limit on the number of hours.
Didn't the brief say something about 450 hours per year?
So that's not in the statute. That is a number that derives from a federal permit from the FAA and from their record of decision. And actually, that particular number is the number that has been recorded by various agencies or entities who are informally keeping track of the number of hours that the beach has been closed. The FAA, in their record of decision, has separately acknowledged that there should be a limit on the number of hours that the beach is closed. In the past, that number has not been adhered to. But suffice to say that our lawsuit is not attempting to challenge that permit. Our lawsuit is challenging the statute, which does not include a numerical limit on the number of hours that the beach may be closed.
Now, as you know, the argument is being made that this bill was promulgated because there was a rational relation, a rational basis for it, and that SpaceX is good for the economy, stimulating the economy, creating jobs, that sort of thing. So how do we handle that, since that's our obligation under our standard of review?
Sure. I have three responses to that. First, that argument would require the trial court to reach the merits of our lawsuit. And we're here because the trial court dismissed our lawsuit for lack of jurisdiction. Second, There has been no legal authority cited. I think the argument was primarily made by the Attorney General that the rational relationship test should be applied here. And there has been no legal authority cited by the Attorney General in support of that argument. And in fact, I think that an argument could be made that a different not means testing type of standard should apply here. Because this particular statute is more akin to, of all things, our federal Second Amendment constitutional right, and that this statute and the constitutional provision that we're relying on, it doesn't create any new rights. It simply acknowledges rights that have historically been understood to adhere to the public. That's similar to the way that the U.S. Supreme Court has analyzed the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, and they have determined that a different analysis applies when looking at challenged legislation, and they apply the historical analysis. All that is to say that once we are able to get back into the trial court and present our arguments on the merits, we would challenge the Attorney General's contention that rational relationship applies here. And third, my final response to that question.
Complete your response, and then we'll wrap it up for you.
My final response is that closure of the beach is not necessary to pursue these space flight activities. If this particular corporation had cited their spaceflight endeavors elsewhere, away from a public beach, then they wouldn't have needed the legislature to pass this legislation. Thank you.
Restate your name just for the record, sure. Please.
This is Catherine Cherry for the state of Texas.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Cheney. Okay.
Your Honor, may it please the court. The part of the of our position that I want to address is luckily the part that appellants have just discussed, which is this rational basis test and whether this is a question on the merit test and how are we supposed to view the viability of the constitutional argument. So the first thing is basically under the appellant's argument, they have an absolute right to access the beach whenever they want. And we know that that can't be right because if there's a hurricane, for example, there should be some kind of state government police power to get people off the beach. If there's some kind of oil spill or, you know, risk to an endangered species, there's a right to get people, there's a government power to have people not access the beach.
Protection and for their safety and
exactly. And that's what 61-132 and 61-11 are. They don't authorize the SpaceX activities. They don't they're not needed necessarily for the SpaceX activities. That's a completely different thing. All we're doing, all the state is doing, is authorizing the commissioner and the local officials to promulgate rules to protect the public when these launches happen. And that protection is a clearly rational action from the state. And under the rational basis test, that's really all we have to show. Now, To go back a little bit to how we get here, when the appellants are saying that there's a right to the beach that they're talking about, they're really focusing on the first sentence in 33B, the public has an unrestricted right, but the very next sentence cabins that right. And the very next sentence says, that right is dedicated as a permanent easement in favor of the public. So this isn't just an absolute, you can come whenever you want, you can do whatever you want. It's a permanent easement. And when we talk about easements, we get into property law. And when we talk about property law, we're looking at a case like Severance v. Patterson, where there's a balance between the private landowners, what the private landowner wants and what the owner of the easement wants. And here, I don't know that it was mentioned, but SpaceX is operating on its own private lands, like 69 acres. It's just the fact that it's near Texas Highway 4 and that the potential scope of the danger includes this beach. But the whole point of talking about the easement is just to say that this is not an absolute right. And that's what the Constitution says explicitly in this provision. So to address some of the other statements that the appellants made, the rational basis test in this analysis is not a merits question. So under CLUM v. Houston Municipal Employees, when you're looking at whether or not there's a viable jurisdictional claim, you can simply say, is there a right that the plaintiffs actually have? And if you can just look at the pleadings as a matter of law and say, there's a rational basis for the statute that they're challenging, then it's over and you don't have to go into the merits. And that's why, in that case, the court found that there was no subject matter jurisdiction and that they hadn't made a viable constitutional claim. Here, the same problem appears. There is no right to just access the beach whenever you want. 33B allows for a permanent easement access, and a permanent easement access is subject to the rights, or the subservience of the state is subject to the private interests, their enjoyment of their property, and more importantly, to the state and the public interest. And here, I think also how we're looking at unrestricted right, we have to now add the fact that it's subject to government regulation. And the other point, I think, is the Second Amendment historical view. If perhaps we were deciding whether or not there should be a public easement, that would perhaps come into play. And that's the severance case, where they decided if there should be a public easement when the water level changed. But we're not deciding that. All we're deciding is it reasonable? Is there a rational basis for the state to allow the commissioner and to allow local officials to promulgate rules providing for the safety of the public during these launches? And that's clearly rational. So,
could you respond to the arguments that Ms. Benaz made on the private right of enforcement argument? Because, I mean, it does beg the question, how does the constitutionality of these statutes get challenged for this provision if you're saying, no, that's a private right of enforcement?
Right, so although we have that in our briefing, the state isn't actually going to argue that point. I think some of my colleagues are,
but I'm having trouble keeping up with arguing what.
Yeah, no, we're not kind of going further with that, even though that's inconsistent with our briefing. But we do think some of our colleagues are going to argue that point.
Okay.
All right, and I'll
give some time back to one of them. All right,
yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. May it please the court, I'm Elizabeth Arreta here on behalf of the Texas General Land Office and the Texas Land Commissioner. And with respect to the GLO and the Land Commissioner, the appellants claim that GLO's amendment to its Rule 15.32 and the Memorandum of Agreement the GLO entered into with Cameron County violated Article 1, Section 33 of the Texas Constitution. These actions were taken by the GLO under the authority granted to it pursuant to Section 61.132 and 61.001(d)(11) of the Texas Natural Resources Code. As the Attorney General's office mentioned. In our case, a district court signed an order granting our plea to the jurisdiction and dismissing the appellant's claims against the General Land Office and the Land Commissioner. And we now request that the court affirm the district court's decision because the appellants lack standing to bring these claims. There is no private right of enforcement under Article 1, Section 33 of the Texas Constitution, and the appellant's claims are barred by the Doctrine of Sovereign Immunity. With respect to the appellant's lack of standing, now an association has standing to sue on behalf of its members in some cases. This is not one of them. The association only has standing to sue on behalf of its members if the members would otherwise have standing to sue on their own. And in order to determine whether the appellant members have standing to sue on their own, they have to satisfy the individual standing test. The appellants must show that the individual members have standing themselves to bring the suit, that they have an injury in fact, that the injury is traceable to the actions of the General Land Office of the Texas Land Commissioner, and that the injury will be redressed by a favorable decision.
You heard the arguments made by Ms. Benales that said that these are individual effects that these people have suffered, not the public at large.
Yes, Your Honor. And the individual effects that are discussed by the appellants are really though only injuries that would apply to the public at large. These are not individually redressable injuries, and also importantly, especially with respect to GLO and the Texas Land Commissioner, these are not traceable to the General Land Office or the Land Commissioner. And appellants have no standing to bring this action against them in this. So the right of the public to access and use a public beach without interference or encroachment is not personal to the appellants. Rather, that injury that they're claiming is generally to the public at large.
What about people who say they worship there, that's a sacred place for them? Isn't that an individual right to them and not one that's to the general public?
The personal rights that are being brought forth on behalf of the members at issue in this case, again, they lack standing for the reason that those types of rights are also not individually enforceable under the statute that we're discussing, and also for General Land Office and for Texas Land Commissioner. The claims that they're making are not traceable to those entities because there are third parties involved. It involves the actions of the county commissioner. It involves the actions of the legislature in delegating these rights and responsibilities to the General Land Office. So the injuries that the appellants are claiming are not something that can be properly redressed in this private cause of action. Especially because, and I, as the Attorney General's office had discussed, I am going to talk a little bit about Article 1, Section 33 of the Texas Constitution. And that expressly states that the section granting the public access to use public beaches does not create a private right of enforcement. The correct course of action is to dismiss claims for a lack of standing when no private right exists. And here the Constitution expressly states that no private right exists.
But they're not asking to enforce anything. They're just saying it's unconstitutional. Isn't that true?
Well, the appellant's argument with respect to that, Your Honor, disregards a limiting language in Section 33 and the delegation of the enforcement authority that's been given by the legislature to the General Land Office, given by the legislature to the Texas Land Commissioner to make these decisions under their enabling statutes and under the provisions of the Texas Natural Resources Code that they enacted their memorandum of agreement that's at issue here, as well as the amendments to their rule about the public beach access.
Well, can you answer my question that Ms. Morales deferred to one of you, and that is, how could the constitutionality of this, any of these statutes, be challenged then if you're saying that there is no private right of enforcement under Section 33? Any statute that pertains to this section, could they be challenged?
The constitutionality of the statute that's at issue here, the private right of action does not exist to provide the members of these associations the right to bring a claim. They have no standing to assert that they are able to recover or to seek a declaratory judgment under this act. I see my red light is going off, so
that's
I'll
okay.
Let,
you can complete your answer.
So there is no private right of action that exists for them. The constitutionality of the statute, this is not the proper forum for it to be decided pursuant to the claims that they're bringing in this case, Your Honor. So we would ask again that the court affirm the trial court's decision in basically dismissing the claims of the appellants against the appellees.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Allison.
Good morning. Jim Allison for Cameron County. May it please the court. I think I can summarize the appellee's arguments pretty briefly in our 5 minutes. The federal government has authorized spaceflight activities at Boca Chica. That is not an issue here. The appellants have not challenged the federal government's authority to do that. The state government has authorized the GLO and Cameron County to take certain steps to protect the public when such authorized spaceflight activities occur. I think that's an important distinction because the appellants have not challenged the reasonableness or the necessity of the regulations in question here, the memorandum of understanding with the GLO and the regulations promulgated by the county. There's no assertion that those are not needed to protect the public. What the appellants have asserted is that they have, under the Texas Constitution, an unfettered, absolute right to access to any public beach at any time they choose. That is an incorrect interpretation of Article 133, Subsection B, but it is their only claim. I emphasize that because this is not a case where they're challenging the reasonableness or rational basis of the regulation in question. Since that's the sole basis of their attack on the statutes and the regulations promulgated by the GLO in Cameron County, they cannot assert anything other than a private cause of action. And they find their ability to challenge the constitutionality of the statutes in subsection B of the Constitution, we think incorrectly, we think the jurisprudence is already well established that this section is a shield. It is a protection. It is not a sword to be used by individuals to claim an unfettered right to access the beach. But nevertheless, even if they had a cause of action under subsection B, they would ask us to ignore the plain language of subsection D. Subsection D is unique. There's no other language like this in the Texas Constitution. And I submit to you that by its plain language, the people of the state have determined that there is a limit to this right of access that's in subsection B.
But it also begs the question, what's the purpose of having it in there? If it says they has an unrestricted right to use, but there's no way to enforce that right.
Well, of course, it was developed, as we know in the jurisprudence, to replace the prior holding that private individuals could block access to the public beach. And what it does is, and this is an answer to your question about, well, who can enforce this right? The public can, the public through its government. This section was put in the Constitution because up until then, the state had no right to guarantee this access. This gave, and the state has now passed the Public Beaches Act, and the state has taken action in many cases to enforce that. The state carrying forward the burden to guarantee and establish this access. Subsection D makes it clear that's the limit of the provision in the Constitution. It is not designed to give an individual a right to step in and take that right themselves and claim it at any time for any purpose. So if we are to follow the instructions of the Supreme Court, that when we have language in a constitution or statute, we're to give those words their plain and ordinary meaning, that then there is no private right of action. Any action that needs to be done to challenge this and guarantee access has been reasonably exercised by the state. There's no attack upon the actions taken by the state in Cameron County that they're not reasonable, and therefore there is no right of action. And calling it a Uniform Declaratory Judgment Act when there is no underlying cause of action does not bootstrap it into the jurisdiction of the district court.
But for that, and I understand the arguments that you're making there, let's assume this is coming up in a case where the court has exercised jurisdiction. Could the constitutionality of this statute be challenged? No one's answered my question yet, is how does someone go about challenging the constitutionality of a statute?
I think the people have determined by this language that it will only be challenged by the government itself, by the entity itself. They have rested in the legislature and in the Attorney General and in the GLO the authority to enforce this section. They've not rested it in private individuals. To allow an end run around that language would in effect create an improper advisory opinion at the district court level. That we cannot do. If there's no remedy, if there's no cause of action, there's no jurisdiction.
Very interesting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court. I'd like to start my rebuttal arguments by addressing the question that the Chief Justice Contreras has raised, and that is, how does one go about challenging a statute that is deemed or alleged to be unconstitutional and in violation of Section 33? There's a long line of cases, over a century's worth of cases, that answers that question. And the way that a statute is scrutinized for its constitutionality is by turning to the judiciary. The judiciary provides that check on whether the legislature has enacted a statute or whether governmental entities have acted in violation of the Constitution, and whether those actions in that statute must be declared void. That is the not only the duty and responsibility of the judiciary, but that's the only mechanism by which we can have any statute scrutinized for its constitutionality.
But that's a, you know, a general statement, and it may be that those statutes, I'm sorry, those constitutional provisions do not have a section that says this section does not create a private right of enforcement.
Right.
That's the
right. And dilemma. And here's the thing. The section that states there is no private right of enforcement, that comes from the Open Beaches Act. In fact, the Open Beaches Act was in place since, I think, 1959. It was in place before this constitutional amendment was ever enacted into the Bill of Rights. And what the Open Beaches Act said was that here we're providing this statutory right of access to public beaches. And by the way, we're talking about a public beach here, not private property. And so the question of an easement does not arise here. But the statute says that you have this, you public have this statutory right to access the beaches. But you can't, you don't have a private right of action to enforce it. That was already in the Open Beaches Act. It said you have this right, but the state and the DA, we're going to take care of enforcing it for you. So that's how severance arrived. That's how it got to the courts, because that was a private property type of situation where there was an allegation that there was an impediment to access to the beach because of private property owners. In this case, so the statute, the constitutional amendment was passed, and it adopted that same language. It said you don't have a private right of enforcement. So you still can't go and sue a private landowner, or you still can't go and sue for damages for a violation of this constitutional tort. It simply repeats what was already in the act.
And is there case law that interpreted the provision in that statute that did allow individuals such as your clients to sue?
No, and in fact, we're not, my argument is intended to emphasize that the subsection in the constitutional provision doesn't do anything different than what the Open Beaches Act already did. And that's why we're not trying to allege damages for a constitutional violation. That's why we're not trying to go and privately sue any corporation or private landowner who's impeding the right of access, because we can't. The Constitution and the Open Beaches Act have made clear that we can't do that. We can't sue for a constitutional violation based on damages. But what we can do under Section 29 of the Bill of Rights is we can ask the judiciary to check and scrutinize the laws that were enacted by House Bill 2623. We can ask the judiciary to look at those and determine, should these be declared void because they violate a constitutional provision that guarantees to the public this right of access, and that does place a limit, that does have limiting language, but the limit is intended to limit the state's actions. It's intended to say, you legislature, there's a limit to your authority. You may not enact any statute that violates this right that the public has determined belongs to it. And that's what we're alleging happened here. And just briefly, Section 29 is what provides the solution, I suppose, for a violation of the Bill of Rights. It very clearly states that if the state passes the law that violates the Bill of Rights, the remedy is an equitable one. The law is void. And there's a long line of cases that have made that clear. And there's nothing in Section 33, in fact, Section 33 is part of the Bill of Rights, and there's nothing in Section 33 that says Section 29 doesn't apply here. It applies to every other provision of the Bill of Rights, but not to this one. It doesn't include that language. And I think importantly, the appellees have cited no legal authority for the proposition that the legislature may enact a statute that violates the Bill of Rights, and the judiciary cannot provide a check on that. They've cited to no legal authority. They're asking this court to decide for the first time that the Bill of Rights, a constitutional provision in the Bill of Rights, does not allow the judiciary to check the actions of the government.
You would agree that the county, does have an obligation to protect its citizens and does so in many ways. Why isn't this just a form of that, of their protection, when they're only closing when these activities are going on? They've said that, during launches, debris can fly and, other dangerous things can occur. If they didn't take any measures to protect the public and something happened, then they'd be sued for that.
Right. So the limits to the legislature's authority are in Section 33 of the Constitution. They can enact laws, but only laws that protect the public's right of access. That's not what this law is doing. This law very plainly says that it allows for the closure of beaches. And there's no other analogous statute that allows for closure of the public beach. This is not intended to simply enhance or protect the public's access to the beach. And although the federal government has issued a permit is not a property right. A permit does not convey any right or entitlement. All it does is remove an impediment, a regulatory impediment, that would have prevented that regulated activity from being allowed. Now that a permit has issued, that only means that the federal government has said, this corporation has complied with our regulations and we no longer consider it an impediment. We're authorizing them to pursue these activities. But it does, the permit doesn't say anything about the Texas Constitution. It doesn't say anything about the public's right of access. And it certainly doesn't trump or control the Texas constitutional rights or the judiciary's duty, responsibility, and authority to ensure that all legislative actions comply with our Texas constitutional rights. I want to emphasize a couple of cases, Patel versus Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation, which is cited throughout our brief. City of Beaumont versus Bouillon, also cited throughout our brief. Those two stand for the propositions that I've just been discussing. Bouillon stands for the proposition that when a legislative act or statute is alleged to be unconstitutional, then the only remedy is an equitable one, and that remedy is a declaration that the statute is void, and that can be accomplished through the Declaratory Judgment Act. Patel stands for the same thing. Friends of the Earth versus Laidlaw is a United States Supreme Court case that addresses standing, and just because the interests of the plaintiffs are widely shared by a number of members of the general public, that doesn't mean that they don't have an individual interest sufficient to demonstrate standing. And finally,
so counsel, how do the appellants possess standing under the associational standing test?
There are three plaintiffs, and so long as one of the plaintiffs can show associational standing, then the court has the authority to exercise jurisdiction. And all three organizations satisfy the associational standing test because all three have a member who has individual standing to pursue the lawsuit in their own right. And those three members are the ones that I described at the opening of my arguments. All three have an interest that is different from the general public and have been injured in a way that is different from members of the general public. So I, for instance, might claim, I have been to Boca Chica Beach, and I might claim that, this affects me, but I am a member of the general public, and I would assert that I don't have standing because I have not been injured in a way that's different from the general public. These members have been. I want to quickly provide the citation to the case that I cite, that I mentioned earlier in my arguments, because I did not cite that one in my briefs.
Go ahead.
That's New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin. It's a U.S. Supreme Court case decided last year, and it is 142 Supreme Court 2111. And that's the case that discusses the what we would allege to be the appropriate standard to apply when assessing the constitutionality of this particular statute.
Okay, any more questions, Justice? All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The case will be under submission.